1 Peter 5 now, interested in verse 1 tonight, and be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, not your buddy, not your friend, not your comrade, but your adversary, and then he points it out, Peter does, the devil, as a roaring lion. He makes a lot of noise, don't he? And he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You may be seated this evening. Father, we love you. Thank you for this good time together today. Thank you, Lord, how you've stirred our hearts this morning. God, the liberty we've had here to preach, I'm grateful of that. I pray now you'd let me teach tonight and be a blessing. I thank you for these songs that has been sung. God, would you put this scripture in our hearts tonight and help us with the Word of God, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask you, amen and amen. Number one, I want to say this. The devil, he is alive. And the devil, he is around. And the devil, he is angry. Do you think that the devil's going to sit down on what's happening at Liberty Baptist Church? Do you think the devil's going to sit down with the ground that you've taken and now you're living for the honor and the glory of God? Don't think the devil's going to sit down. The Bible tells us what the devil's doing. Simon Peter is older now and he says this. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to preach on Satan's plan of destruction tonight, just a few moments. And I want to say, first of all, by way of outline, that it is his plan to distort our love. He would love to distort our love. Now, look what God said in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 4. And you'll notice that here, he said something to us, these words which I command thee this day. He said simply that shall be in your heart. He said in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, we see that he would love to distort our love. And God tells us that the main commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And so he would love to distort our love for God. Number two, he would love to distort our love for one another. In John 15, you've heard the old-timers say this a lot. You're talking about a powerful verse, friend. In John chapter number 15 and verse number 12, here John is writing, and Jesus steps in and he has this to say. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, time out. Has Jesus forgiven you of anything? If he has, you ought to forgive one another. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to go far with God till you learn to forgive yourself. We're all human. We all make failures. We all drop the ball at times. But aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that loves you in spite of who you are and what you've done? I come to tell you tonight, he is a God of second chances. And the devil would love for you to rub your nose in your past. But as a child of God, I'm glad our sins are gone tonight. Our sins are not on layaway, but thank God they're under the blood, washed away in the sea of forgetfulness tonight. And the devil would love to distort our love for one another. Oh, Jesus said this in John 13:34. Turn to the left in your Bible. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. He said that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Look in verse 35 by this, church. Church by this. Not how big your church gets, not how many you're running, but honey, he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, he'd love to distort our love. Our love for God, our love for another. And I'll tell you another thing. He would love to distort our love for the sinner. The love for the lost man. If a church like this could, the fire that we have for Jesus, we ought to ask Him to give us a fire, a burden in our heart for the ones that are lost and undone without Jesus. Listen, church, wake up tonight. It's the last days and Jesus is coming. If your loved ones are not saved and they're left behind, they're not going to heaven where we are. I don't like my enemy, but let me tell you tonight, I've got to love my enemy. And my worst enemy, I don't want to see him die without God. Oh, the devil would love to distort our love for the lost man. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Oh my, how we need that burden again in our heart. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Look what it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, my church, when we see lost people come in, we ought to be praying for them. We ought to be encouraging them to be saved by the gracious grace of God. The God that saved you, the grace that found you, the grace that keeps you, the grace that's going to see us get home. We ought to want to see everybody that we come in contact to be saved by the gracious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil would love to get you to distort your love. Your love for God, your love for one another. Let me tell you something, we all make mistakes. Just love each other through it. Now we've got a Bible to walk by, we've got standards to live by. And the Bible says that he that sins rebuke before all that others may fear. But let me tell you something, failure's not final tonight. There's a God that forgave me, that will forgive you, that can forgive them. And so my, how we ought to share and shine and show our love one to another. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples, not if you got a new addition going. Not if you're singing out of red back hymnals, and I'm all for both of them. But if you have love, one to another. Jesus said this, how could you love me in whom you've not seen, and hate your brother in whom you have seen? Oh my, tonight, the devil would love to distort our love. Number two, he would love to distract our look. He would love to distort our love, but secondly, he would love to distract our look. What are you saying, preacher? Well, in Luke 9:57, I think the devil would love for you to look back. In Luke 9, in verse number 57, notice this, the old devil, he would love for you to look back. And here in Luke's gospel, he says something in chapter 9. And verse number 57. Look what he says. He says in Luke 9:57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Look what Jesus said. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Must have been real important to Jesus. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, here's the verse, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now that don't mean nothing about going to heaven. This is what it means. It means in the service of God. And certainly we have nothing to look back to. Let me tell you, them friends said they loved me. They run up on me. Boy, Jesus has never left me. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we have nothing to go back to. I'm glad Jesus is our everything tonight. Boy, the old devil, he would love to get you to distort your look. He'd love you to look back. And then secondly, I believe, I noticed this, that he'd love for you to look around. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 18, here the Bible says this, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Boy, I tell you, he would love for you to look around and see how bad things are. But church, I want to remind you, the world's always acted like the world. That should not really be so alarming. Jesus said in the last days, perilous times shall come. The Bible's just fulfilling itself. And so the devil would have you to look around and get so negative, think about, boy, how bad everything is. But I want to remind you tonight, he owns both sides of the river. Amen. Hey, Washington ain't running heaven tonight. Heaven's not bankrupt. Jesus not went no place. God's still on His throne. He's still blessing His church and blessing His people. He's still saving sinners. And I thank the Lord He's soon to come for it. Don't be looking around. You'll get real discouraged. Don't be looking back. You'll get real distracted. Then I want to say this tonight. He would love to distort our look. He'd love for you to look back and look around. And then in Philippians 2 and verse number 1, he'd love for you to look at yourself and let you get to thinking that you've done something. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded." Watch this. "Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You say, well, preacher, if we're not to look back or look around or look at self and think we're something, what are we to look at? Well, the Bible's always got the right answers. In Hebrews chapter number 12, in verse number 2, one of the greatest verses in Hebrews, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look what it says, church. "Looking unto Jesus." For every direction you need, look unto Jesus. For your encouragement, look unto Jesus. Don't look back. Don't look around. Don't look at yourself and say, well, I can do it. I'm trusting in myself. There's no good thing in the flesh. But honey, Jesus can do anything tonight. He's our great captain. He's on the right hand of God. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it and He'll finish it. Thank God it ain't up to me. It ain't up to you. But it was blood at Calvary where He gave His life that we could all go free tonight. Boy, the devil, his destructive plan is to distort our love. It is to distract our look. But thirdly, I want to say it is to dishonor our Lord. In 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 13. In 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 13. He said that, yeah, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we've not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For he received from God, here's the verse, the Father, honor and glory. Honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, one of his great destructive plans, no doubt, is to distort our love and to distract our look. But I want to say it is also to dishonor our Lord. I'm going to tell you, we should always honor the plan of the Lord. It would be easy to dishonor the plan of the Lord. And a lot of churches, they're not honoring the plan that the Lord left. You say, preacher, what is that plan for our church? When Mark 16 and verse number 19... Mark 16 and verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Now look what he says in verse simply number 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now he had left for us to dishonor the Lord's plan. And then he would love for us to dishonor the Lord's price. John 3:16. Last night I was over at the little grandboy's house and he brought to me his Bible. He said, Pop, here is my Bible. I said, Son, let me read you something. He said, well, read me something in the Bible. I said, I'm going to give you the most glorious verse in your Bible. I opened it up and it's already highlighted. It said this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I like what it says right here, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. He said, Pop, what does that word perish mean? I said, it means you'll die forever. But son, if you believe in Jesus, He said you could go to heaven and live forever. I'm glad tonight that we need to honor the plan of God and the price of God. He gave His Son that we could get to heaven, and there's no other way except by the blood of the darling Lamb of God. There is no other way. People think that's such an elementary verse. It's the most profound verse in our Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Honey, if you make it to heaven, you'll appreciate that verse. Thank God, I'm glad the plan of God is still honored down at Liberty Baptist Church. It's still the blood. Hallelujah. It's not of works, lest we'd boast. We can't be baptized into it. But thank God we believe in His Son and be born again by God's amazing grace. Boy, the devil would love for us to dishonor our Lord, to dishonor His plan, dishonor His price. And then the devil would love for us to dishonor His place.
You know something? A man's got to preach if he's going to keep a church going. You know that? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I come up under some man of God taught me to respect the place of God. Amen. And I know some people don't like it, and I know some folks it ain't real popular. They just want to come and go and do as they please. But let me tell you, that ain't the Bible way tonight. I sure am glad that we need to honor the place of God. Look what the psalmist David said this in Psalms 26, winding down. Now, Psalms 26 and verse number 1. David had something to say. He said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord, and therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Lord, here's our verse. "I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place wherein thine honor dwelleth." Can I read it again, church? It's so good. I want to read it again. "Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place wherein thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot standeth in an even place, and the congregations will I bless the Lord." Hey, folks at Liberty Baptist Church tonight, it's still right to praise Him. Boy, it's still right to bless Him. You can be Baptist and throw your hands up tonight. You can be a Christian and still shout for Christ's sake. Now, I'm going to tell you, if it's ever been a time where we need to realize this world's not going to get no better, and we need the house of God in our life, and we need to honor it and always remember to God be the glory. God's the authority. He gets all the honor and the glory and all of the praise. This thing ain't about one preacher. It ain't about one member. But it's about the lovely one that hung at Calvary's cross. And guess what, church? He's soon to come back for us. Honey, let me tell you, I know it's getting close because the signs of the time. I can hardly wait for the trump and I'm going to get a glorified body. No more heartache and no more pain. No more doubt and no more misery. No more disobedience and discouragement. Thank God when that trumpet sounds, all of my trouble's going to be over. We're going to leave this place for somebody then. They have their car shows then. Hey, they have their drama clubs then. But until then, we're going to honor the house of the Lord. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. By God's amazing grace. Oh my, the devil's destructive plan. Oh, tonight how he would love to distort our love. Just let us get cold. The Laodicean church age, it's so cold and complacent tonight. Total apathy, just going through the motions. Oh my, I'm going to tell you what. Peter in his writing, he said, "I want to stir you up tonight. By way of remembrance of what Jesus has done for you. To remind you the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." You, preacher, what are you saying? I want to say that he wants to distort our love. He wants to distract our look. He wants us to dishonor our Lord. But fourthly, he wants to destroy our life. You know something? He's not happy with wounding you. He wants to destroy you. He don't want to cripple a church. He wants to close a church. And you watch this in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. John 10 and verse 10. Look what Jesus said about him. Boy, he wants to destroy our life. John 10 and 10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But look what Jesus said. Looking unto Jesus. And say, if you look around the devil all the time, you're going to be so discouraged. I mean, we're not going to have enough wind in ourselves to encourage nobody. But look what Jesus said. He don't major on the devil. He lets you know where he's at and what he does, but all of a sudden, this is what he said now. He trumps him. But I am. Come. That they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, tonight he'd love to destroy our life. I want to say, I know this by practice. He loves to destroy the enjoyment of life. He don't want you to have any peace at all. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. You know, can I say something right here to the congregation I believe that loves me? And I know it's only a few men here can relate to what I'm fixing to say. It's going to be a glorious Sunday. The Lord's day when I get there. And no more devil bothering me with what I preached. Or what I ain't preached. Sometimes in my bed, and I want to say how human I am, sometimes I'll toss and I'll say, ugh. Remember, and I say, what is it, honey? I said, it's just the devil. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the devil don't want you to enjoy nothing. But he's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a liar and he's a cheat. He's a liar and he's a cheat. He's a liar and he's a cheat. Honey, let me tell you, Jesus is coming to town one day. I said, devil, Jesus is coming to town one day. We're going to have a bonfire. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no more devil. There ain't going to be no more devil bothering God's youngins. Hallelujah. Makes me want to go more. Just what ain't going to be there. Ain't this amazing? Y'all ever notice this? Ain't it amazing? He never did bother you till you got saved. And he never did talk to you till you started trying to do right and be a blessing to somebody. Boy, he's a crooked, wicked devil. You know something? It's amazing how discouraged. See, this thing about it, the devil knows if he can discourage us, he's got us. You know, I'm reminded, a lot of you have heard it, but I'll go ahead and tell it again since I've got another hour to preach. The devil had a yard sale. Man got out. And he looked at all these tools the devil had. The devil was sitting up on a bench under a shade tree. And he had a tool leaned up against his leg. And every tool out there had a price on it. Walked up and there was danger. It had a price. There was darkness and it had a price. There was distraction and it had a price. Man said, devil, I'm wondering about something. Said, you got everything for sale. Why ain't you got that for sale? Leaned up against your lap. I want to know, what is it? He said, oh, if I've got this, that I can defeat anybody anywhere. It's called discouragement. And I'm going to tell you something. There's been a lot of times, church, I've been so discouraged. Jesus had come by. Speak to my heart by the Word of God. See, the devil, the last thing the devil wants you to do is get in your Bible or get in your altar or get in church where people of like-minded faith that can love on you and help you. You're not bulletproof, honey. The devil will tell you some big lies tonight. And we need the house of God in these last days. He don't want you to enjoy nothing. He'll tell you you're a failure. He'll tell you nobody loves you. Well, you can read your Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I can tell you this, if nobody else ever loves you, Jesus loves you. And boy, He's doing all He can do in these last days. You know something? He loves to destroy the enjoyments of life. And look what it says. He says, charge them, in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things. Look, here's the word, to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy life. And we've got to get a place in Jesus to where we can enjoy some time together. That's why He said, come apart. Jesus wants you to enjoy tomorrow in Christ Jesus. This world will let you down. You can have all the money in the world, but it ain't going to buy you into heaven. It won't buy you happiness neither. And it's something all in people that win the lottery, they don't live long. They take their life. Don't bring happiness. It brings a lot of trouble. Jesus will let you enjoy life. It's the little things, young people. You wait till you get older. It ain't the big things. It's not hitting the ball out of the park. It's just sitting down enjoying life and realizing that Jesus will let you enjoy something. Now, He'd love to destroy our life, the enjoyment of life. And then the enlargements of life. He don't want you to get no bigger with God. He just wants to keep you stomped down. Let me tell you what. Everybody goes through what I'm preaching tonight. I've heard some preachers say, well, I've never been discouraged. Well, they've never preached for the God I preach for. Elijah got discouraged. He called Ahab out and Jezebel called him out. It wasn't long he found out he was human. And let me tell you, people that's encouraged, try to encourage them. Don't stomp them down when they're down. Help them. Pick them up. Be good to them. Look around at people that's missing in our church. Give them a call. Encourage them. You wouldn't believe how good it does me if somebody just come by and say, preacher, we love you and we appreciate you preaching. You say, preacher, you've been here a long time. I know that, but still, I appreciate people being good and kind to me. And so do you. Encourage one another. Oh, He'd love for you to destroy your life, the enjoyments of life, and the enlargements of life. But then, mainly, I tell you what He'd love to do. He would love to destroy your eternal life. See, some of you here tonight, no doubt, you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. The devil would love for you to just keep putting it off. Keep putting it off. Keep putting it off till it don't mean nothing to you anymore. Keep putting it off, until maybe that you've crossed that deadline with God and now you've met Him. Brother Driver told me something the other day. He said, preacher, when you was preaching another Sunday morning on at the straight gate, he said, I want to stand up and that's what I want to say. He said, not long ago, maybe last week's what he said. He said, did you know that we had an older gentleman and we had a baby at the same time? Life and death is no respecter of person. You can be saved tonight if you want to be saved. Miss Sherry, would you come? The devil would love to destroy your eternity. You know something about the devil that I found out in serving him and preaching for the Lord? That he loves to distort our love. Our love for God, love for one another, and love for the lost person. He loves to distract our look. He loves to keep us where we're not focused on the main thing. He'd love for you to dishonor the Lord. But I tell you the main thing, He'd love to destroy your life. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't know where I'd be tonight. In spite of me, I want to say this publicly, God has kept me from destroying me. The reason I'm not in a bad place tonight, because God was merciful to me. Now I want to thank Him for it. Miss Sherry, play, I open this altar. I want